somebody's hand.
Back together once again, praising the Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy that Sunday school this morning?
Yes.
My goodness, that time went by like, I looked at my watch. I said, he just started. My goodness. That was really good, brother. We appreciate that. Amen. That was necessary for everybody. Glory to the Lord. Amen. I hope you're glad to be in God's house this morning. Amen. Glad to be with you, brothers and sisters, together again, praising the Lord. You believe something good has already happened, so we know something good is in store. Praise the Lord. God bless each and every one of you. Those online, God bless you. Certainly, thank God. Amen. We're going to sing 392. Thank God I'm free. You thank God you're free this morning?
For a long time I traveled. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born. should go.
Blessing.
Amen.
If our way is God's way.
Amen.
And not try to make God's way the way we want it to be. Amen. Blessing to be back in the house of the Lord again. We look around us and we see everything taking place. Show us that how quickly everything is ending. I look at places around where I live, used to be woods and creeks and banks, and now they level them off and stuck something else in it.
Right.
But these things is supposed to be happening.
Amen.
And we are supposed to recognize them.
Right.
And if we do, we know that God's coming is at hand. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to read this morning from Psalms 37, verses 23 through 40. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is such a pleasure that we have you to call upon. Lord, to lead us through hours of trouble and darkness. God, we are thankful. Lord, we know that where there's darkness, your word will make light. Lord, we ask you to be will bring us out of the troubles that surround us. Lord, we ask you that we learn to love everyone. Lord, whether they love us, hate us, or how they feel about us. Lord, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in you should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, that's what we are seeking this day. We ask you to bless the words that has come this morning. Lord, and that you continue to bless and guide us. Lord, remember, we know that you remember. Let us remember, Lord, what you came for, and that we are to fulfill the remainder till you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
I have been young, and now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed.
Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore.
For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off.
The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever.
The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment.
The law of his God is in his heart. None of these his steps shall slide.
The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him.
The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged.
When wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it.
I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree.
Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found.
Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off.
But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because he has trusted in him. God bless you. You may be seated.
Brother Boyd, we'll get your help, brother, if you don't mind. Thank you, brother.
First, I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve you this morning and every day. We just ask that you continue to bless us, Lord, as we give these offerings and lift them up to thee. You use them where they're needed, Lord, for you know all things. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that word, since he is our helper. Amen. Let's sing Light of the World. Amen. He came down, stepped in to where we were by the grace of the Lord.
Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Shine on me, oh, shine. Lord Jesus. Let that light,
the lighthouse, shine.
There's a sun above those clouds that's still shining. It don't go dim when the clouds cover. It doesn't go dim. It shines just as bright. I love it when we're flying through clouds, Sister Rebecca, and all of a sudden you cloud, rain, and all of a sudden that plane goes, and it's just total white. Sun shining, Brother Danny. It's still up there, still shining, and we're able to see it. So God bless you. Good to have you here. Good to see all of you here. We got a bunch out today. And I think Sunday the ministers took my, what I said, the heart. I told them, I said, I'm not going to ever stop them from going out preaching. Well, they're all gone now. So I told the sisters this morning, I said, all the brothers are gone. I said, we're going to have a sister meeting one day because all y'all came to church. But good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to have a baptism today, whether it rains. We're going to pray that that rain stops. When Brother John gets done this afternoon, when the Lord leads him to dismiss, we're going to have baptism. We're going to pray that the rain will not happen anymore while we have a baptismal service. But we're going to have it anyway. All right. After the second service, little sister Iva June, which is named after my wife, June, she'll be baptized this afternoon after Brother John finishes. And we'll have Brother John with us this afternoon. And I told him, I said, you stay gone long, we'll put you to work. Song leading, preaching, put him to work. Just for a moment, if you want to, have your seats just a minute. I want to, we had the men's meeting Sunday, and we kind of hashed some things out. But I just want to go over a few things that I want to let your sisters know, because some of you don't have husbands, and I want you to know that we appreciate all of you, and that we will be not, there'll be no changes as far as anything immediate until July, except now Brother Bob accepted the role of assistant pastor of the church. So he will be the assistant pastor today starting forward. All right. I believe you guys are comfortable with him, and I'm comfortable with him, and I'm comfortable when I'm not here. I need to feel some kind of comfort. So and not that the other ones are not. We already talked about all this, but Brother Bob's done a wonderful job and absolutely has grown a lot in the Lord. I remember the first time when I approached him. He was teaching Sunday school class, and I approached him. I said, you know, you might want to try to put something together, you know, and this was when Dad was still pastoring the church. And I said, because that big man up there may ask you one day if you'd like to say something. And I said, you better be ready. And he was like, oh, his palms sweat. Y'all shook hands with him. Lord, I thought I was going to have a baptismal service right there just off of his hands. But he was so nervous, but you see he's grown. And that's been, you know, 10 or so more years ago that Brother Bob's been preaching the gospel. And we sure appreciate Brother Aaron and Brother Luis also. They're good soldiers. And I'm looking for another one. I need somebody else to step up, and we'll have a few more. And we can send you out somewhere else. But we know for sure that Brother Terrence and Brother Ryan are deacons. Brother Bob wants to step away. You cannot give up your post. You can just be inactive. So Brother Bob, since he's now going to be the assistant pastor, and then since he will still be doing Sunday school here, he's asked to step away. So I'll be looking for a couple of deacons. And Mom and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about deacons. Brother Brown said deacons have a more stringent qualification than a preacher, a pastor, because they're supposed to be married and supposed to have children. A pastor doesn't have to be, but a deacon needs to be married with children to qualify for being a deacon and apt to teach and take care of widows and orphans. That's what the Bible says. So I'm going to be looking for a couple of deacons there. Also, Brother Gary and Brother Darty's are our trustees. I'm going to be looking for one more there just to take some of the load off of some of them. And we know that Brother Donnie and Brother Colley's board of directors, and Terrence is the president. We've set up as a corporation years and years ago. So, but just wanted to make sure you understand this. And also, for your Sunday school teachers, Brother Bob will not be the superintendent anymore. Brother Ryan will be the one. So if you have to be out, you need to see Brother Ryan if you're out. Now, Brother Bob will be doing Sunday school here, and he will be responsible for getting his own replacement, all right? But Brother Ryan, from Brother Michael all the way downstairs, you'll need to see Brother Ryan about getting you a replacement if you need to be out. All right, is everybody with me on that? All right, now I'm just kind of trying to go over just a few things just to make sure that some of you sisters understand that what kind of went on a little bit. And also, we want to make sure that you know that Brother Dale's going to be taken care of. He's not going to be put out to dry. He's going to be taken care of. He's took care of this church. We're going to take care of him. And that's including my mother, too. Okay. So we're going to make those decisions, though, later on in July. We're going to wait till July to see if I run anybody off or if you continue to stay here. But I'm going to continue to work. I'm not going to quit. So I'm going to continue to work, and because I have good insurance at the post office, and I can get off when I need to. And that will take a burden away from the church, because at my age, my insurance would be $1,000 a month. And I pay $240 a month at the post office, and it's really good insurance. And remember Sister June, May the 21st, she's going to have her hip replaced. So remember her for that. And also, we've set in place some things that in case I become incapacitated, that we know what to do. All right? And if you need to ask that, you can ask the deacons or the people that were here. Let's see. We're going to have addition of leaders, which will be deacon and trustees. We're going to start having quarterly meetings. But we'll talk about all that in July. We'll be meeting with the heads. If you have any questions, any of your sisters have questions about anything, see one of the deacons or myself or one of the ministers. We were all here. But we sure appreciate all of you. We appreciate your support. We absolutely appreciate your support. We're going to continue mission work. Just that's what I mean. Just we're pretty much staying status quo until July and see what's going on, see how we're doing. I don't want to alarm anyone, but seasons change, things change, so we want to be ready for that, to meet the challenge, not let the challenge come and we not be ready for it. All right. And then we also talked about over all the years, Brother Dale, of course, he never took all the tithes, so he put money back in the church. All right. And we would build off of it and we would do things with it. Well, we may have to come to the season now to where I'd like to have a bathroom in that study, because that's when you see me go out. It's not to do anything but to go to the bathroom. All the internet to know. But there's not a bathroom over there, and we'd like to do a little expanding. But we may start a building fund. We may start asking you if you want to put the money in. Like I said, seasons change. Everything's changed. You know as well as I do, the heyday of having plenty is about over. Yeah. We could lose our jobs. We could be persecuted. There's a lot of things could happen that had not happened 20 years ago. When we could do things, now it is. And I want to be very cautious. I'm optimistic, but I'm a realist.
Right.
Okay? I understand that we can't do all the things. You know, we can't build I wish we could build a $300,000, you know, totally renovate the building and have plenty of room and plenty of downstairs and plenty of where you don't have to do that, you know, up there. And the voice goes out and it hits that thing, comes back. But we're doing the best we can with what we got. As long as you pull on the Word of God, and I preach the Word of God, and these brothers preach the Word of God, that's the main goal. All right? It's the Word of God is the main goal. All right? And as I told them before, I have counseled with many pastors about different situations, and I don't talk to everybody, but I do talk to pastors because I'm sorry, I can't talk to my dad. So I pull off of Brother Mike Oltig, Brother Chris Long, and Brother Claude, different ones, Brother Dutch Scott. They've been pastors for 30 years or longer. So I'll make mistakes, and I apologize already because I'm human, but I'm going to try to minimize them as we keep going on as a church. And as I said before, if you didn't vote for me, hang on, give me a little time, and let's see if you like the word. It's the word first. All right. If I keep preaching the Word of God, then if I don't look good, I'm sorry. Okay. If I don't preach the way you want me to, but it's the content of what you say is important. It's the Word of God. And like I said before, I admonished all the people with a job in this church. Be here. Be on time. Make an example. Set yourself to high standards, because all the others are looking at you. Everyone is. And looking at me too, and I'll read you a quote here in just a little bit from the scripture. Yes, from the scripture about a good shepherd. So let's stand to our feet, and God bless you. Remember July 19th, 20th, and 21st. I know we got all these other meetings, but we're going to start putting a thing up on the board. And like I said before, we're going to try to find like a big Airbnb or something, and then you may have to pitch in and pay a little bit. To go, but that's going to be at Brother Andre Head's. It'll be Saturday, Friday night, no service. It'll be just food and fellowship. If y'all went last year, you know what we're doing. The 20th will be our youth service there. Brother Joel Brown will be speaking for us at the same place at the Methodist Church. And then Sunday I'll be speaking at Brother Andre. So just keep us in prayer. If you want to go, absolutely. We'll do the best we can to pay what we can, but if we ask you to pitch in a little bit, like I said before, ask you to pitch in a little bit and help, okay? But we would love for all of you to go, and I don't know what we're going to do about service here. I don't know who's going to can't. Brother Bob had to come back and preach Sunday last year. I'd like to maybe either find somebody or either put that one online up there and y'all watch it here. We'll worry about that later, but that's in July, but we'll start looking at places to stay and food and all that. So we just have a real good time of fellowship with them. We appreciate them. We appreciate Brother Andre. He's been down here twice, and he always stops by and sees Brother Dale. So, and they really appreciate him. So just keep that in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. One more time, we're able to stand before the greatest people that ever walked on the face of the earth. And Father, you told us that if we would listen, if we would open our ears, open the eyes of our heart, as the song says, that, Lord, to hear from you, take all the emotion and all the, I don't like this and I don't like that. But, Lord, you give us a word. You give us a Bible. You gave us the Word of God. It's never been changed. It's plain and simple. And, Father, I pray that plain simplicity will be here today, that you'll anoint us to do the things that we're supposed to do. Anoint this church, Lord, to hear from you, Father. The great shepherd, as we're going to see in a minute. The chief shepherd. That's who we're looking for, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the ones that are not here, all the ministers that are out in different places ministering, ones that are not here that are sick, different ones, Lord, doing different things. Father, I pray that you'd bless them and bring them back together. Lord, later on this week, Father, I pray that you'd be with us in the baptismal service, that someone else may come forward, Lord, and not just be little Sister Iva, but maybe there's another one there that's thinking about it, Father. Well, we pray that you would anoint our hearts, Lord, to come and be baptized in your precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Amen. I like these two quotes. I understand once again that the greatness of God always reveals itself in the simple things. Always. We're looking for these great big things with fireworks and all that. Simple life lived is the greatest thing against the devil. He hates a life that's lived for God. He hates it. And life with God is not immunity from difficulty, right? I've already said this before. It's not an immunity from difficulties, but peace in those difficulties. We all go through them because we said before, we looked at Smyrna, and we'll see it in a minute, that it means death and that there's just all kind of persecution going on in these different church ages. Listen, you've never had to fight to get here to a church service through policemen, through a mob, through a crowd, and have to lock the doors to have service. Not yet. These people had to. These people in the dark ages, if they just said we're a Christian, they would be put to death. Amen? But now we're able to be safe at the moment and be able to listen to what God says to us. But today we're going to kind of review and then go over something I want to talk about is four living creatures. All right, let's read Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, writest in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the age we're living in now, Laodicea. And I turned to see that voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now we know that's bride form, all right? Revelation 4, verse 6, and you can be seated. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. Now this is Revelation 4. This is after the rapture. Remember, we go up in 4:1. The bride does. And this is the scene that John saw. There were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf or an ox, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we understand that this is John, after the rapture took place in heaven, a scene, and he sees these four beasts. With a lion, they had a head of a lion, calf or ox, man, and an eagle. All right? But we're going to read in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel talks about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And we'll see where he talks about the same identical thing. He sees the same vision, but he has a little bit different angle to it. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. Because I know all of you, if you're Bible studiers and you know the message of the hour, those four beasts are the Holy Ghost. That's the guards to the temple, guards to the altar. That Holy Ghost today is what guards you from doing wrong. Where's the throne? The throne's not out there. Throne's in here. There's no more wheels in the middle of the wheel. Wheel with the middle of the wheel was those going through the 40 years in the wilderness with the ark on the cart. The ark's not there anymore. That ark's inside of you.
That's right.
All right, everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
So that lion, ox, man, and eagle, those characteristics are in the Holy Ghost that's in you today. But each age, as Brother Brown tells us, we'll get to it maybe later on, that in every age, there was one of these beasts or one of these came to the forefront. I know Brother Ryan asked many, many years ago, and he'll remember because it says there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Now, we'll look in Ezekiel. Ezekiel says that they never went backwards.
Right.
And if you take a box, which is, you know, lion, ox, man, and eagle, it looks like they're going, if the man was going in this direction, all these other ones would go and be going backwards, the one behind. But you got to remember, God is so fast. He's eternal. He's an eternal being, and this is eternal. These are living creatures. And every time you need something, that head turns, well, it turns so fast till they're never going backwards. Never going backwards. They're always going forward. And we'll read that in the book of Ezekiel and clear it up maybe if you look and say, "My, I don't know how that happened." Well, if God wrote it in the Bible, there's a way for it to happen. All right? So we have to depend on that. But now let's remember that we'll go back to the church ages just for a moment. We look at the mind of God today. As all of you this week were studying on the Word of God, I hope somebody did a little studying sometime during this week or thought about God or read a scripture or heard a message or read a quote, or I'm sure you did from everybody else. I ain't going to say Netflix. I did. But did you think about God? If it was God that you were thinking about, that was the mind of God coming to you. I didn't need to be there. The other preachers didn't need to be there. You got to get this for yourself. Remember, Brother Ram said, it's not the preacher's fault because you don't make a rapture. It's your fault. All right? So don't blame it on the preacher. All right? Everybody with me? Don't be calm. Let's have some excitement today. So that message was sealed up, though, for all those through eternity, and all of a sudden, some kind of a way God comes down and he steps forward and we're able to understand him, and it's called the logos or the speech. God begins to speak. But remember, if he speaks, there's got to be something said. I mean, when God speaks, there's got to be an action.
Yes.
Me and you, we have what? Idle words. Half the stuff we think about, half the stuff we talk about, what? Never comes to pass. Everybody with me? How many times have you formulated a thought, and you're like, this is it, this is it, this is it, and ain't it. Well, God don't waste his time. Once he thinks and says it, it's a piece that matches. He's got somebody on earth that's going to hear it. But now, not just one man, though. Like I said before, even Columba, when we get to that middle age, Columba died before the age even began. So somebody had to listen to what he said, the message he had and was given from God. Somebody had to listen to that, and it quickened and carry on.
Yeah.
All right? So we'll see that in the lion, ox, the man, and the eagle. The first three church ages are the lion, or L-I-O-N, not lying, lion church age. All right? There was a lot of lying going on, but that was on the other side. So the mysteries unfolded. There was a mystery that was hid even from Paul. Come on, somebody. The hidden mystery was the seals coming up here in Laodicea. Right. Paul didn't have a revelation of the seals being open. He could see things, but he looked through the glass darkly. He could see things, but he couldn't see clearly because it wasn't time for him to see clearly. Right. Now you and I in this age, we must see clearly. That's why we must be held to a high standard all the time,
yes,
not just part-time.
That's right.
All right? And if we fall, there's grace. And you know who to find it from,
yes,
and where to go and all the steps to get grace.
Amen.
Brother Brown preached marriage and divorce, the grace of it, for a purpose.
Yes, right.
We needed it.
Amen.
We needed it. That's why he preached it, because we needed grace.
Yes.
I'm glad it wasn't left up to me and you, because we wouldn't be preaching grace.
Mm-hmm.
We'd preach condemnation, judgment. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
Thank God he sent a prophet, because God knew that we... Listen, if he sent Paul, if he sent Moses, let's go well back. If he sent Moses to grant a writing of divorcement, I'm not going to preach on marriage divorce, just sit still. But I'm going to make a point. Moses, the people must have needed it, or God wouldn't have given that grace to Moses. Because remember, God don't do something frivolously. He doesn't do something without a plan and a purpose. So then Paul comes and he says, look at all these people. You know, he comes into Corinthians and he sees this boy living, this man living with his stepmom. He said, oh, now, wait a minute. That ain't right. Right? But he got a grace because the boy got right and come back into the church.
Amen.
Oh, boy. We wouldn't like that, would we? Huh? But Brother Branham comes. God knew we'd get in all kind of scruples and scrapples, as Brother Branham would say. He says scrapples. And he knew that we would need grace to carry on. Because we got in, Brother Brown said, misinterpreted theology.
Right, yeah.
Coming from where? Right here.
That's right.
All those years that, well, that's okay. And this, no, we need to somehow, some way, keep this thing clean.
Yes, sir. Right.
But you got to have grace. Because we're all messed up. I don't care if you've never had a problem in your life. You was born messed up.
Yes, right.
Something had to die for you to get born again.
That's right.
That was the old you, the old Adamic nature you were born with.
Right.
So God sent grace in every age. But really, in this last age, he really sent grace because this is the winding up of it. No time to play. No time to go to another. We don't look for another messenger to straighten up Brother Branham.
Right.
No. That messenger came from with the mind of God, just like we said. That message was proclaimed, and it was a distinct and declared message.
Yes.
Brother Branham even tells us, he says, look, he says in Spoken Word's original seed, he said, I thought I preached it all. I thought, you know, I thought I was just here to restore the gifts, to restore order. Brother Branham, and then the Bible says, then Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost said, pick up your pen, said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. In other words, the seals have not been opened. The greatest grace that was ever given to us is the seals when they open. I said when they open. Not greasy grace to do what you want to, but if you get the seals right. Brother Keith Reed called me yesterday. He's coming the last Sunday in July before camp meeting. But he had just got back from Uganda. He'd been there almost 2 to 3 weeks. And he was telling them about I had went over there in 2007, I think it was, and preached a week-long series on the seals, how it was the plan of redemption.
Yes.
Not that it was just a white horse rider with the Antichrist and all that. And he said, I still had those notes. And he said, I took them over there. And he said, them pastors, when they got finished, he said, they told me they had to go back to their church and re-preach a lot of stuff.
Amen.
We don't know what God's given us. And I didn't preach it myself. I got it from what Brother Dale had already preached back in the 80s.
Right.
80s. Some of you weren't even born in the 80s.
Right.
You see what God's done among us.
Right.
He's given us a message, but this message goes everywhere.
Right.
It just doesn't right. It's not just right here. It's for everybody.
Right.
Brother Keith always told Brother Dale. He always told Brother Dale. He said, Brother Dale, you're not only preaching to those people in Lula. He said, you're preaching to the world. Met people over there in Uganda that had listened to us online. So, praise God. Thank you, brothers in the back. I know we've had a lot of issues, but thank God we've got what we got. All right? And we're working on some stuff to keep all this from not happening anymore. So the true word of God, there's a spiritual war. Now there's a spiritual war. There's been a spiritual war in every church age. All right? Because it's true word versus false doctrine. It's not whether you believe, you know, you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's the true word versus false doctrine. And we're going to see in these church ages that in the first three ages, it was the lion, the boldness. They would stand up and proclaim, there's only one God. I watched somebody yesterday online. It came up on YouTube. It says, Pastor explains the Trinity. Heavenly days. He held his hand up right here. He said, there's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three persons in the Godhead. He said, then God made Adam, Eve, and children. I said, that proves the Godhead. Everybody was, how false can you be? But you know what? Misinterpreted theology. That's what did it. That's why in the first church age, that's why in the second church age, third church age, you had Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin that knew there was only one true and living God, and that's what they preached. But then you had those other people, the false people, that was trying to preach the same thing. Listen, during Paul's age, I may not get anywhere today, but we're going to get this far. Paul's age, he preached about an out resurrection. And then a group of people started preaching. The resurrection had already happened. According to what Paul preached. Right? Remember what Martin Luther, remember in the movie, you know, they're burning churches and dragging people, dragging the preachers out and burning the churches up. And Luther says, what are y'all doing? They said, we're doing what you said. They misinterpreted what the messenger said. Have we got that in the same age now? Messed up. The message is not messed up. It's the people that are messed up that's in the message. All right? But it's always true. Everything, even when Satan was created and he preached a false doctrine to those angels ever how many billions of years back. Listen, you got to remember one thing. Eternity goes as far backwards as it does forward.
Absolutely.
We're thinking about, it's always back there too. But there's a time when Satan was created. Well, when Satan was created, he preached a false doctrine to angels. They accepted him, and it's been war ever since. Till today. But today, the battle, in this age, the battle ends.
Yes, sir.
The battle will stop when the bride goes up into the glory. For us, for the Gentiles. We think about these wars in Ukraine and the Lebanese and the Syrians and all these people. I hope that doesn't frustrate you. I hope that gives you a calm feeling that we know what's going to happen. And we know who's going to be involved. Brother Brown said, watch Russia. Russia and Iran are just like this. Who do you think is funding Iran? Russia. It's later than we think. So the messenger then is laid away or taken off the earth. And we either accept it or reject it. And then that brings a judgment or a plague like it did to the denominations when Brother Brown said they're just lodges. Now, if we believe Brother Brown was a prophet, then they can't go any further than being a lodge. Now, they're filled up. They're filled up. Joel Osteen, 15,000 members, 6,000 members, 4,000 members, you know. That's huge. And they believe what that guy says. That's how deceived that Satan has become. Remember where Satan's seat is. It's either in you if you're not born again. If you're not born again, it's in you. Satan is sitting right there today if you're not born again. Sorry. It's either truth or false. One of the two. There's no in between. You could be heading towards something, which I pray that we're all heading towards more of God.
Yes, sir.
All right. Don't just be discouraged. You could be sanctified. You could be justified. And Satan still be there. But you know that you can't stay that way. You got to continue on.
Yes,
the things I used to do. I do them what? No more. I wanted to. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to. Y'all didn't. We're fine. And that thing still pops up every once in a while. Oh, well, pray for me. Okay, well, they ain't many shaking their head, but me and you, just a couple of us. So, shake your, amen a little louder. Shake your head just a little bit louder. But we're all in that, though. We're all in a journey. This is a journey. This is crock pot. This is not microwave. Right? But we're moving towards something. Don't give up. Don't stop. Well, I don't. Be careful. Just keep moving. What I tell you? Check the boxes. Check the boxes. You say, you're too legalist. Check your box. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I believe, and if you're going to come to church, you need to come on time. Because you bring every devil in the world with you in here. I wish there was a little water thing running down where we would just wash it all the way, and we just walk in when we wanted to. Reach over and pinch yourself. You are not in a dream. You're in a fight. All right? But that mystery, you and I have, we've got a mystery that came from God to a little prophet so that Brother Branham would be not, he'd be the one where it wouldn't mess it up. No. There wouldn't be three or four and they all get up and say, well, no, I don't believe. No, they sent us a prophet.
Yes.
That prophet told us what God's, the mind of God. He told us that mind of God. And you and I have got a responsibility to either do it or not. There's your spiritual war. But that mystery is unfolded, and Paul tells us what part of the mystery is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
So then there was an age of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fell. That lion of the tribe of Judah, that first beast of the four creatures. Everybody with me? It fell on the day of Pentecost, and they come out of that. What, they were behind the door, had everything shut for fear that they weren't going to be persecuted by the, come on people. The Romans were not persecuting them. It said for the fear of the Jews. The Jews wanted them dead. Listen, the people out in the world don't want you dead, but religious people are going to kill us all if we don't take a rapture, a body change. Religious people. Religious is what put Jesus on the cross. Not Rome. He tried to deny it, Brother John. He tried, well, I can't find no fault in this guy. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He just happened to yield to the will of the people, which were Jews. So the Holy Ghost fell on a group of believers, and what's the first thing they did? They bust the doors open, as Brother Ram said. They run out into the streets, and they're like, man, these people are drunk. Well, 15 minutes earlier, they were cowards.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the Holy Ghost gave them boldness to speak the word of God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the beginning or the precursor to the Gentile church age called Ephesus. Because remember, there was an age of Pentecost. Peter was a spokesperson. There was no messenger. The messenger was the Holy Ghost through the people. All right? It'll be important later on when we get to this. The Ephesian church age, we know that Paul was the founder there at Ephesus of the church. He pastored a little while, and then he went and did mission work. And then John comes back, John the Revelator. He pastors there until he dies. We saw all the characteristics of the Ephesian. The very city of Ephesus is just like us now. Rich, increased with goods and all different things. And Paul died around 64, 67. And the church age went on to 170. Somebody, I hope somebody gets, somebody had to carry that thing on. And they didn't have MP3, YouTube. They didn't have recorders.
Amen.
The only recorders they had was scribes, and I ain't ever seen a scribe write that fast. They get to preaching, the Holy Ghost had to quicken what you heard.
Yes.
Is there any different now?
No.
Well, the only difference is no, wait a minute. You misquoted that. I got it right here. Not on this one, but y'all got Apple. Raise up your hand if you got an Apple Watch. Raise up your hand if you got an Apple Watch. Don't be looking up quotes in church. But, I mean, that's what you can do now. But what about if you didn't have that? What if me and Brother Darty, Brother Collie, listen to what Brother Dale said for all those years, and then we go sit somewhere, And we don't have the mind of Christ. We formulate our own opinion. I believe that Brother Dale meant this. Well, I believe Brother Dale meant this. Well, I know he meant this. Somewhere the Holy Ghost had to put that thing together.
Amen.
Regardless of paper.
Yes, right.
Regardless of tape.
Yes,
right. Regardless of MP3 and right. Apple phones that you can look up quotes. Regardless of that, God's got to quicken what you hear. Faith comes by. No, it doesn't. It comes by Apple Watches. So all y'all are lost except in five people. Raise your hand up. No, faith comes by hearing. Do you ever ask the Lord to reveal what that man's saying to you? I do. Man, when I first come back to church, there in the late 90s, Dad was laying it hard and heavy, and I'm like, Lord, I got to catch up. But if you'll open up your heart, not to YouTube, but if you'll open up your heart to God and say, God, I am right here. I'm not going anywhere. I want to understand what this man's saying. That's why a lot of people can't understand Brother Dale. They don't open their heart or they don't have the Holy Ghost. Sorry. Because remember, if the Holy Ghost is speaking, then there's got to be a Holy Ghost to respond. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how are you going to respond? Now, you can do like Brother Luis. He's not here today, but he'll tell you. He sat here, he said, for 6 to 8 months, and he just absolutely was brain dead. He never heard these things before. And like those brothers in Uganda, they never heard the seals preached like that before. We heard it in 1982. They never heard it. This is 2024. And they got a, listen, Voice of God don't even print books anymore. They sold all their printing presses. They print zero books. It's all in digital form now. So, but that's great because it's available to anybody. We used to, remember those little e-books we used to buy, and they were outrageous. But you would take them and they'd wear them out because they really wanted to listen to what God said through the prophet. Then they went to MP3s, and then they went to that message hub where you could print books out of one computer. And that was great, but now everybody's got them. I mean, those people overseas, they're not behind, I'll promise you that. Right. You know why? Because they're different than us Laodicean Americans. Right. They study a lot. Because that's all they got. Don't ever go to a foreign country and think they don't know what you know. But it took somebody like Brother Keith, though, to place it together to show them that the seals is for the redemption of their body. And how the Brother Dale preached it there in the 80s, and we were absolutely fortunate to do that in 2007. I want to ask you a question. Remember when Brother Dale used to give us quotes?
Yes, right.
Well, everybody just hang on a minute. You still got them? You ever read them? You even know where they're at?
I got them.
I figured you did, Brother Kyle. Some of you did too, but I preached that in 2007 in Jamaica, and I took everybody a copy. I went with a whole suitcase full of what I had run off here. It was like 15 pages because I did quotes, charts, graphs, went all the way through the Statue of Perfect Man, went through the Four Horse Riders, went through a little bit of Daniel 70 Weeks, and then got into the seals, and it took 6 nights preaching 2.5 hours a night. They didn't care. We'd get to church at 7 o'clock. They'd sing till 8:30. Most of y'all are already asleep by then. You're asleep now. Then we'd start service, and I'd go, and they'd just say, keep going, keep going, keep going, and it'd be midnight when we get finished. Then they had to drive it. I had to drive an hour, Keith did, an hour back home, and they filled the church full. I'm not saying nothing about me. I'm just saying, listen, somebody kept those notes.
Right.
And they used them for the glory of God.
Amen.
They didn't put them up somewhere. They didn't tear them up. They didn't throw them away. It's like Brother Keith said, and I'll tell you just plain. He said, we don't realize what we've already got.
Amen.
Remember what Brother Andrew Glover said? And it's a quote where Brother Bram says, I don't think we are sufficiently impressed with what we got. And it's in the Pergamene Church Age, I think. We're not impressed that this message is just for a group of people that God chose before the foundation of the world, that we would hear this message and respond to it. We're not impressed. I mean, but you can get a big head over here on this side. Let's don't do that. Let's be humble that God saw that you would try. I just want us to try to live a good life and check the boxes and stand still and wait on God.
Amen.
You read that thing right there? Y'all can see it. I can't. Be still and know that I am God. Do you know he's one God? Do you know where he's at? Do you know what he's doing? Are you sufficiently impressed with what you got? Wow. But God's given us a shepherd. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. He called you by name and led you out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Yes.
Today I want you to hear the voice of God. It's not going to do us any good to hear the voice of Brother Dale, the voice of Wade Dale, the voice of Brother Bob. Listen to what's behind that voice. Amen. Listen to the essence of what's trying God's trying to get to you. Amen. I've always said this message is not in 1,100 sermons. Written on a piece of paper or on magnetic form or now in your digital pocket. It's the essence of that message that's going to live in a group of people. And then that's going to turn and carry us in a rapture. But it's got to turn from you and carry it to the rapture. How can you hide it under a bushel? How can you hide it in earthly vessels? Now, God hid it in earthly vessels, which is me and you. But remember, who was it? Gideon or somebody told him, God told him, put the candle inside the earthen vessel. And when you got up, shout and hit that thing and knock it out. And the light would shine. And they'd think there was hundreds of thousands of troops. And there was only 300 of them. And they whipped like 50,000 Philistines or whoever it was they were in a battle with. Because they broke the pottery and let the light shine. You know, I read a quote the other day where it wasn't from Brother Brown, but it was somebody else that said, your light only really shines through the scars. Your light only really shines through the scars. You make a scar, and there's light inside of you. How did we get out of the sight of Jesus? A Roman spear cut him open. And Brother Brown said, water and blood came forth. He said, that was the bride, the releasing of the bride. Praise God. And it stayed open so that we can get back in. Remember, Adam's got sealed up. Jesus has still got the, he's still got the scar. And through that scar shines me and you. Through our scars shines the light. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So let's just say today, God is the shepherd of all these sheep. All right? He's the great shepherd. He's the one that doesn't make a mistake. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, look, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 says, feed the flock of God. This is where he's talking to pastors, as myself and his brother Dale, different ones. Feed the flock of God. Now watch, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. There's got to be, listen, we got, I was talking Sunday, we're not an organization, we're an organism. Right. An organism has moving parts. Right. But there's got to be somebody that's got to be held accountable. That's right. Then the next person held accountable, then the next person held accountable. Right. Everybody with me? That's just the way God set it up. He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for what? For the perfecting of the saints. All right? Now look, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown. Not him, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Listen, we're not going to be walking around with a bunch of crowns on our head. It's symbolism of what's inside of you. In your intelligence. You know, listen, God knows whether you want it or not. You just got to figure out whether you want it or not. So let's look at these just for a minute. We got a Pentecostal age, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. Now, I'm going to skip real quick because I don't want to be too long today. But we've seen the church ages. We've seen Ephesus. We've seen Smyrna. Smyrna meant what? Bitter death. I still want to read that. Because look, in Ephesus, look at all that light. That was the preaching of the unadulterated word of God. Right. Coming straight from Paul and Peter and James and John. All the different ones. Right from Jesus. The chief shepherd had just left. Amen. And it was fresh on their mind. Yeah. It was fresh in their heart. Yeah. They had not had, as Paul said, grievous wolves had not come in right at the first. It was a pure age. A lot of light. Then look at the next age. A little bit more dark. A lot of people accepted false teaching. A lot of people accepted false doctrine. And look, they didn't accept it and say, hey, there's nobody I know of that says, hey, my doctrine's different from yours. Mine's false and yours is true. Hello, somebody. They always say, my doctrine's true and yours is false.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be right. But look at the next age. The Pergamean church age, the light's getting dimmer. Then in Columbus, it almost goes completely out. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But I want to talk about the lion, ox, man, and eagle. But the Smyrna church age means bitter. So what in Smyrna, what happened? Brother Bram said, look, there's a twofold significance found in the name of this age. It was bitter, filled with death. Look, the two vines within the framework of the church were drifting further apart with an increased bitterness toward the true vine on part of the false. Listen, there started to be more and more persecution.
Right. Yeah.
And who persecutes who? Christians, so-called, persecute Christians. That's why I thank God he sent us a prophet that said, look, bride will not persecute bride.
Amen.
You can't persecute the Holy Ghost if you got it inside of you. Now, if you don't have it, you will persecute. Death was not only the seed of the false vine, but even in the true vine. Now, look, even in the true vine, there was a creeping paralysis and impotence because they had already drifted from the unadulterated truth of the first few years after Pentecost. And no true believer is any stronger and spiritually healthy and alive than his knowledge of and adherence to the pure word of God. Is everybody with me? That's a good quote. You're no more alive, you're no more stronger than the word that you take in this truth. Now you take in garbage, it makes you weak. Hello, somebody. Garbage in, garbage out. It's what we always say in the world. Garbage in, garbage out. As seen by multitudes of examples in the Old Testament, we saw that. Organization was growing apace, confirming and augmenting the death of the membership. For Holy Ghost leadership was deposed, and the word was replaced by creeds, dogmas, and man-made rituals. And that age started at 170 to 312. The messenger was Irenaeus. We know that. Let's just keep going here real quick. Now listen. When we get to this, when we talk about this Smyrna church age, there is the chief shepherd of the flock, but does he hold back persecution? No. No, he does not. I know your tribulation. Not I'm going to get you out. But the present suffering, Paul said, of this time is not to be compared to the glory. Whatever your flesh desires today will go away. It'll either burn in hell or be changed. One of the two.
Amen.
We still believe in a burning hell.
Amen.
Okay. But what a stumbling block it is to so many people. That's why that this prosperity doctrine and all these different things, that yeah, they got their place. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Ghost to combat it. The only thing you got to combat false doctrine is the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
The four creatures, the four living creatures. And listen, we're in the end time. All four are at our disposal. The lion, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Matthew, in that first church age, they couldn't be an eagle. They can have an eagle anointing. God has dispensations. We know that. But you know, have you ever thought about this, though? The reason we have the reason God segments this, puts it in segments or dispensations, is for me and you to understand it.
Right.
If he just flowed through and like, you know, I'm just, no, he says, all right, understand this. That's why I love these church ages. If you just keep reading them, just keep reading what God said in the scripture. But that's what Brother Bram said. Read what God wrote to all these. And he gave that message. He said, this is the way you're going to act.
Right.
Lukewarm. Laodicea. Blind. Wretched. Miserable, naked, and don't know it. That's what he said. Every age got the good and the bad. But remember, in the Laodicean age, we don't get any good. It's all bad. But he may commit you to death. Come on now. He may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffer as he did Job. That is his prerogative, for he is sovereign. But it is all with a purpose. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration. I want to add that confusion also. And not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, established, strengthened, and settled.
Yes, amen.
Listen, I believe Brother Branham said, and I'm going to bring that quote, where he says that when the doors of the Gentile church close, he said, God will anoint a church then. And God will do in 1 year what theologists have tried to do in 2000. Look what we got coming.
Amen.
There's going to be a time just for a moment. Just for a moment. Brother Joe, God's going to show the world the bride. He didn't have to show her all down through the ages. Because they weren't as dark as this age. Most deceiving, worst day is this day. And we're getting ready to go home, and I believe God's going to, you know, we've all got issues. We all got things we've got to work on. But if you'll get in the right place at the right time, be at the bus station, have your bus ticket.
Come on.
Have your bus ticket. Not at the airplane counter. Be at the bus ticket. Check all the boxes. Ask God for revelation.
Yes.
Amen.
God is going to show the world, you and I, just for a moment.
Amen.
He's going to say, there's where I've been. There's where I live. There's where I spent all my 3.5 years preaching so I could be in that group of people right there.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And we know he's going to go to the Jews, but remember, they turned him down. That's why they turn around and they say, oh, Lord, we're in trouble. Because you know what those two witnesses are going to do? They're going to go, hey, you see what that group, there was a group fresh on their mind because we just go up in a rapture. Don't you remember that group that called fire? That group that had many people that were limping in the church, didn't limp no more. Many people didn't have limbs. Brother Ram said limbs would be restored. But it's all done for a purpose. He said, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made. Listen, we are spoiled brats if we don't get corrected.
Amen.
Who said that's it? Who said that? That's exactly right, brother. That's it. We know for a fact if we had no control, come on somebody, I'm talking to Christians today. Even if we have no control, what will we do? That's why I said you wait till you think it's lawlessness now and they'll just ride over anything, turn cars over and, you know, destroy Walmart and all kind of stuff just over somebody saying a racial something. You wait till the Holy Ghost leaves. And there's nobody in the United States that has the Holy Ghost in their soul. I'm just talking about the United States. I ain't talking about over yonder. Nobody will have a restraint. Dog eat dog. They'll shoot and kill each other. They'll steal your food and not think a thing about it. I said, that's Christians. So-called. You know what's holding the wrath of God away? Me and you. Because he's not going to pour wrath that he says he's going to pour out on them that don't believe him. He's not pouring it out on them until he takes you home.
Right.
Moves us over in a faster dimension. Let this thing clean off. We're going to step right back into this dimension. We're going to be a marriage supper, though. We're going to take communion for 3.5 years and find out who made it, who didn't. Talk about our Lord. He's right there. Wipe all of our tears away. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne, he wants you to sit right there with him, in his throne, not on his throne. Then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be what? Revealed in us when he comes. Amen. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That's what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. We're all tried and chastened as sons. Amen. Not one but goes through it. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried isn't of God. Everybody believe Brother Byron was a prophet, right? Amen. Okay, all right. The church that's not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. I'm going to continue on. Let's get to this just for a moment. I'll back up, but I want to talk about, just for a minute, talk about these four creatures. Just for a minute, okay? Now, what I want to show you is we've come now, we're almost getting toward the fourth church age, so we're almost in the middle of the church ages, getting ready to come to where we have a whole lot of information with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, and Brother Branham. We don't have a whole lot from there back. But thank God for a prophet that found it somewhere in the history and was able to pick the church age messengers. But what happened is God released these four creatures. Watching the book of Ezekiel. Now we'll go through this real quick, and I'll get back with it next week. I won't cover it all. Let's read right here. Ezekiel 1, verse 4. Now this is Ezekiel, a prophet. All right? Ezekiel's a prophet. He's told to he's going to go into these visions and for him to come out and tell the world or tell his people. All right? You're with me. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. And a fire enfolded itself. I was sitting here yesterday, and I don't say I got caught up in the vision, but I've never seen it like this before. Where you just literally get caught up in this, and that's what Ezekiel is looking at. Right. Now listen, Ezekiel don't have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Right. Right. Never seen him before. Knows a Messiah's coming. Knows Jehovah's with him, but never seen him before. Doesn't really know it's going to be in his people. He just says Israel. That's it. But we know it's more than that. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. Fire enfolded itself, and the brightness was about it. And out of the mist thereof was the color of amber, out of the mist of fire. Same amber-colored light that was over Brother Branham is the same pillar of fire with them back then. But watch. Also out of the mist thereof. Now look, out of the mist. We've been preaching on in the midst of the golden candlestick, one likened to the Son of Man. But I want you to look at this real quick. Also out of the mist, I want you to get caught up in this vision. Don't look at words. You're Ezekiel. You're standing there and you're looking out into space and you see this amber glow and this fire. All right, everybody with me? All right. Also out of the mist thereof came the likeness. Now watch, you got to really have a revelation to understand what he's saying right here. Out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Hold on a minute. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. That's what it's going to turn into. But watch what he saw when John turned to see the voice. He saw seven candlesticks. And in the midst of that candlesticks was like one likened to the what? Son of Man. All right, so here's Ezekiel. In the Old Testament, out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. So he looks and sees the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Son of Man. But he saw the lion, ox, man, and eagle, because it says right here, came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. You and I today have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have those four living creatures inside of you. But I see a man. And sisters. But I see a man. And everyone had four faces and had four wings. And their feet were straight forward. Straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. What does brass mean? Judgment. And they had the hands of a man. Here we go back to that same man again. Under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Now remember, let me stop here just a minute. We all know the number three is what? Perfection. Number seven is completion. Five is grace. And Brother Brown calls four an earthly number. But now it's not a bad number. It's a number of redemption. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. Justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, and the Word. All right. And they had the hands of a man under the wings on the four side, and they had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined. How about I cried when I saw this. I was going to bring it down there, but I didn't. Their wings. Remember I told you what the church ages were? They weren't apart. They intertwined each other. The real true picture should be that every one of them are spread out. And they're all standing there in order. One wing touching the other wing. One wing touching the other wing. Wing one church age touching the other church age. And there's your four beasts. And we'll see in a minute that you got lion, ox, man, and eagle. All right? Everybody with me? All right. So let's see if I can find this back down here again. But I'd never really stopped and read this about Ezekiel until just the other day. But when I looked at that picture, their wings were joined one to the other. They were in harmony. They didn't have a break in their doctrine. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they had four had the face of a man, face of a lion on the right side. Talking about on the right side. They had four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four had the face of an eagle. All right. These were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings of every one that were joined one to another, and two covered their body. And they went every one straight forward. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went. All right? And they turned not. That's what Brother Ryan was asking. How can they turn not, and there's four faces, and it looks like they're, because if you'll remember, the Ark of the Covenant sat in one place, right? Then you had three tribes here, three tribes here, three tribes here, three tribes here. You had Dan and the different ones, and one was the face of a lion, one was an ox, one was a man, one was an eagle. But in Revelation, you got to understand God's so quick. He can turn and you never even know it. Because God don't go backwards. And listen, these creatures are not just attached to God, they are God. But it's where me and you can understand it. Listen. Sometimes I can't understand the Holy Ghost. I don't know about y'all. Pray for me. I can't understand what he does sometimes. But I depend on him telling me what he's done. You know what I ask him to? God, make me a part of that. Don't leave me. Make me a part of that. If you're moving, make me a part of that movement. Amen? Is that your desire? Make me more like thee. Don't separate my wings. Don't separate me from the Holy Ghost. Don't separate me from love. If you got a problem, get the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, depend on him. Amen. Who else are you going to depend on? Give me a name. That's what I thought. Somebody say Biden. Somebody say Trump. Garbage. If they don't get born again, they'll never see heaven. I don't care if they're the greatest people that ever walk on the face of the earth. They're lost.
Yes. That's right.
And they have a mind of a lost person.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And they went everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went. Yes. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was likened to burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, and it went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, up and down. Jacob's ladder. Remember, he saw angels ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. And the living creatures ran, and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. We pray for somebody. We say, send the Holy Ghost. Well, by the time we say send, he's already there. Right. Hold on. The Holy Ghost is a person. Y'all know that, don't you? Okay. All right. He's in spirit form, but he's still Jesus Christ. All right. Okay. I just wanted to know if I lost you there for a second. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures. Now, here's Ezekiel looking at this scene. Behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. Now, he brings something else in. He brings a cart in with wheels. Because that's his interpretation of Jesus Christ. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. As they travel along. Remember when Brother Brown said, he said that that God went and knocked on the door of paradise and said, Abraham opened the door and said, Sarah, that's the calf. That's the man we fed the calf to. He said, Ezekiel looked over his shoulder and said, hey, that's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Right. His revelation was, though, that it was in that ark and the ark was being carried by wheels. Exactly. And the living creatures were around him. Now that's been done away with. Right. We don't have ox cart. It's inside of me and you. That's why John didn't see that in the book of Revelation. He saw four living creatures. We'll get to that just really quick. Now we'll touch it again next week. The appearance of the wheels. Now there's an appearance. The appearance of the wheels. And their work was likened to the color of beryl. We'll get into that. I don't have time to talk about that. And they four, look, and they four had one likeness. There's only one God. There's only one way to do this.
Yes.
And their appearance and their work was as it was a wheel in the middle of the wheel. What? Spinning. God's moving all the time.
Amen.
They might have stopped their wheel in the desert, but God's still turning.
Amen.
When they went upon their four sides and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheel went with them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the bride was lifted up too. Listen, what's Jesus coming back after? He's coming back after himself. He's coming back after himself, made manifest in another form called a bride. But he's coming back for himself. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whether there was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in those wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was at the color of a terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. Now, if you go back to Revelation 4, John saw what? A sea of crystal.
Right.
It's pretty much the same scene. It's just a higher revelation coming from the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Right.
John saw Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. Ezekiel didn't know that.
Right.
But he was looking at the same, pretty much the same scene. All right. And under the firmament were their wings straight. The one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side. Everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty.
Amen.
The voice of speech. Sometimes all we hear is wings fluttering. But there's a voice behind that.
Yes, you got it.
If you're a bride, there's a voice behind that move. Listen, and what are wings? Wings are made for two things. To fly you, right? And for movement. If they didn't flop, they wouldn't go nowhere. So it's movement. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings. Now, here's Ezekiel. He's probably heard thousands of birds fluttering. But he heard something different. He heard a noise. He heard a voice. The voice of speech as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament over their head. When they stood, it had let down their wings. And above the firmament, what is it? Above the sky. That was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Now, that's what John saw. Right? As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness and the appearance of a man. The same one John saw one sitting on the throne in Revelation 4, Ezekiel saw one sitting on the throne in the Old Testament. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins upward, and from the appearance of his loins downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow. He saw seven different colors. He saw seven different colors. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance. Look, every bit of that. He sums it up right here in one sentence. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And you are included. Every bit of that whole scene is that Holy Ghost working through you, through the lion, ox, man, and eagle. Let's stand to our feet. I'll start again next Sunday. But man, you got Revelations 4 that we saw that, and then you got, I want you to remember this. I know most of you know this, but if you look that word up, living creature, or the four beasts, that is a zoon, or a living being. All right. Now, if you go on a little bit further, it talks about the beast in chapter Revelations 11, 13, and 17. That is interpreted as a therion beast or a wild, untamable beast, which is going to be the beast in the end time. So we'll get to that later. We'll stop right here, though. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. You are part of that wheel in the middle of the wheel. You are part of those four living creatures. Those four living creatures brought you to church today. Amen. Brother John, it didn't leave you home. It didn't stay home when you come to church. You brought it with you. Let's be sensitive to what you got. Let's be thoroughly impressed at what we have. I'm impressed that God even thought about me to even give me something like this. I mean, really. It humbles you. It doesn't make you proud. It humbles you that there's a God that's eternal, that doesn't need me at all. He doesn't need you. But he wants. He has a desire to have a family. He has a desire to talk to you for an eternity. A desire for you to be down here and go through persecution. A desire for you to say, God, help me through this. A desire. Come pick you up one day. Change your body. Take you over into another dimension. And let all hell break loose here. And then we're going to turn around and come right back here. Because this is mine and yours. Let's sing a song. God bless you. If you have a need. Mercy, it rerolled my life. Did it? Boy, sure did mine. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. Take it to him. Oh, I should. Depend on that. Get to it later. You got a name that you're called, but you're dead. Then God talks about giving you a new name. And Brother Brown even explains it in the church age book. Says, you got a new name. You're Mrs. Jesus Christ. You're Christians now. Whole new name. All that book of your old life is gone. If you're really born again, there's nothing on those pages. Nothing. Nothing. He picked up a pen and wrote me into his life. He picked the pen up. I didn't want anything to do with it, neither did you. He picked his pen up, dipped it in his blood, and wrote our name. He said, that's mine. Saying you can do whatever you want to, but you can't take your life. Just like Job. I know God says, you got a hedge around this little bride. He said, okay, I'm going to prove you. You just can't take their life until I tell you to. But you can persecute them all you want to. But they're going to come through. One more time.
Oh, mercy, rewrote my
was written about them. Paul says, you are written epistles, known and read of all men. God's going to stand on that great day, and he's going to have all of us behind him, and he's going to say, hey, you might have read the letter, but this is where I was living. This is where I was living, right here. I was living in these people. I wasn't living in a book. I wrote about them in this book. They realized they were in there. I just realized that. They realized that they're in there. And then they're put in a Lamb's Book of Life. Because this book's going to be judged. Not the Bible. But the books were open, remember? All right? You're not a part of that when it's going to go to judgment. He took judgment for you. Cleaned your slate. Put you on a journey. You may have to be persecuted. You may have to be sick. But God will see you through if you're a child of God. A book of remembrance was written. Everybody from here back to Adam. Are you with me? From here back to Adam longed to see the day when everything turned back right. And we're standing here right now. Are you sufficiently impressed with what you got? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I pray this should be with us. Lord, anoint Brother John for the words to speak to us today, Lord, to help us through life. And I pray, Lord, today that what's said has been pleasing to you, Father. And I pray that you'd bless each one, Lord. Be with ones on the highways, ones that are not here. Just heal the sick. Sister Johnny and different ones, Lord, come down and touch them, Father. You're still the healer. You're the great shepherd of our salvation, and we appreciate that. Lord, thank you. Ask a blessing, Lord, till we get back in 2 o'clock and then have a water baptism service after that, Lord. In your precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh.